Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. I have a great show for you today. I'm going to help you discover talents you didn't know you had. I'll also be interviewing Swiss pop star Sylvia G, who shares her story of how she discovered her musical talents. Did you know that on jamesmillerlifeology.com, you can enroll in the academy I created for listeners just like you? I've created courses you can take at your own pace, which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Enroll in one of the classes today. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My latest album, Restoration, was just released. Restoration is a continuation of the first album, Consolation. I like to think of these albums like books. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And like in any story, the character goes from a sense of grief and loss, and at the end of Consolation, finds hope for his future. In Restoration, he has an awakening. And in that awakening, he recognizes all the things in his life which are not healthy, and it helps him come to a place of restoration, becoming greater than he was before. You may purchase this album on iTunes or any other digital music store. The name of the album is Restoration, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you're currently hearing is entitled Restoration. There was a very talented man who played the piano in a bar. People came from all over just to hear him play. But one night, a drunk patron told him he didn't want to hear him play anymore, but would rather hear him sing. The piano man said, "I don't sing." But the customer was persistent. He told the bartender, "I'm tired of listening to the piano. I want that guy to sing." The bartender shouted across the room, "Hey, buddy, if you want to get paid, sing a song. The patrons are asking you to sing." So he did. This was the first time the piano player had ever sung in public, and no one had ever heard his version of Mona, Mona Lisa sung the way that he sang it that night. He had talent he was sitting on. He may have lived the rest of his life as a no-name piano player in a no-name bar, but because he had to sing, he went on to become one of the best-known entertainers in America. You know him as Mr. Nat King Cole. Discovering talents you didn't know you had. If you've ever met those people, they seem so focused. They know exactly what they wanted to do since they were a little child. And they're very determined to be successful in that career. And in the end, they are successful in that. And then you look at your own life and you think, oh my gosh, I'm in the same old job. I feel like I just can't get ahead. And in that, we often find ourselves comparing ourselves to the people around us. We all have specific skill sets, but a lot of the time that skill set can be discovered later on in life as opposed to when we're children. Many of us were told that we have to find a job to become successful. And in that job, we have to do certain things, and that's how we'll find our success. And often that success is measured in finances, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But another thing we need to really recognize is that there are different metrics of success. There are different ways in which we can measure how success feels. And that goes back to fulfillment in life. Let's say I'm an accountant, and clearly I'm not an accountant, but let's say that I were, and I was in that field, and I'm doing the best that I can. Sure, I would probably be successful at it to a certain degree, but I would not be happy at it at all because it has nothing to do with my skill set. And I know many accountants who are very good at that, and they're very successful in their field. But for me, that's not my role at all. One thing we really need to look at is when you're doing something, what does your body tell you? For example, if you are going to a movie and you're watching a comedy and you're laughing, afterwards, if you think on that, you think that was a really funny movie. And the way you knew that was obviously because you were laughing. It's the same type of feeling we need to have when we do different activities. When you're at your job, ignoring the political strife of your work, but just looking at your job in general, do you enjoy it? When you leave there, do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel happy? Do you feel content? Do you feel refreshed? Now, of course, if we have a long day, it may feel a little bit different, but we need to have that perspective to say, what is it that I feel when I'm doing a certain thing at my job? Or what do I feel when I'm doing this particular activity? Often when we're kids, we play a lot. We do many different types of things. We have ideas that we want to be a doctor, a nurse, a politician, a president, a fireman, whatever those things may be. But as we get older, all of a sudden that ability to dream and to think larger than life, because as little kids, obviously we can't do that at that time, but we're able to think larger than life. And then for whatever reason, the older we get, we kind of lose that sense of dreaming or we lose that sense of ambition. And sometimes we just settle for really a form of mediocrity. Think back on those hobbies that you used to have when you were younger. What happened to them? Are you still doing them? And if you're not, well, what caused you to stop? Because when you can really engage in those hobbies or those things that you really enjoyed, often that's really linked with the type of career or the type of profession that you were designed to have. And of course, we grow out of some of those hobbies. But when you really think back on those things you enjoyed, sometimes there's really no reason why we stopped. Perhaps life just got busy and we just forgot that we enjoyed a certain activity at one time. So I would really challenge you to go back to those activities. Try it again. You may be surprised at how much joy it brings you. And then let's say you're not able to change perhaps your career, but if you do more of those things that you do enjoy with your hobbies and perhaps other interests, that then balances out your life to such a degree that you can handle some of the stressors and other areas of your life. We often have this fear of failure. For example, I don't want to try something because I may not be good at it. And you know what? You probably will not be good at it, but that's not the point. The point is specifically you tried it. And the more information you have, the more you can cross things off the list to find what your purpose is. We often use what society considers as a failure to stop us from even trying. And what I mean by that is if we're categorized in a certain way when we're kids, even in school, when we're in elementary school or primary school or secondary school, we're kind of classified in a certain way. We are the band kids or the drama kids or the athletic kids. We're often put in these categories. And then as we get older, we automatically assume we have to stay in those categories. And that often limits us from saying, you know what, I'm going to try something. I may be incredible at it. I may be the worst at it. But my point is not how well I do. My point is I tried it. And in trying something, that can really open up a whole new world for you of something you had no idea that you were born with such an amazing talent. So the fear that we put on us for what we perceive to be failure is really misguided. That fear of failure really should be reframed to, well, if I don't try it, I may miss my destiny. If I don't try something new, I'm going to be stuck right where I am today. And sure, today may be okay, but I don't feel fulfilled. And if you don't feel fulfilled, you'll never achieve the true potential that's inside of you. So today, I would really ask yourself, when you're at work or when you're engaged in all these activities that you're doing, reflect on that. How do you feel afterwards? And if you find that for the most part, you're not being fulfilled in a certain area, look back at the hobbies that you enjoyed when you were younger. If you're not doing them, try them again and see what comes up, because you might be surprised that focusing on the things you do enjoy, that then starts to open up a whole new world for you, a whole new skill set for you, a whole new realm of talent that you didn't even know existed. You have so many more talents in you than what you realize, and I can't wait for you to discover them. A quick example of one of the classes you can take in the Academy called Spirit, Mind, Body, The Perfect Triad. This non-religious class helps you understand how your intuition, or rather your gut, your logic, and your body all work together to help you overcome any obstacle you may face. Enroll in the class today. Swiss international recording artist Sylvia G has won many awards and accolades in her career as a singer and songwriter. She is part of a musical group, Milo the Girl. She was raised in a way that many people only read about, and she is going to share her incredible story with us today. Welcome to my show, Sylvia.
Hello, James. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you. I really appreciate you being a guest on my show. I know you're very busy today. You just said you flew into Philadelphia for one of your tour. So thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join with us today.
It's a pleasure.
Wonderful. Now you have, like I said in the intro, you had quite an interesting way in which you grew up, which is many people only maybe see that in the movies. Would you be willing to share how you started out in life?
Well, I'm Swiss, I lived in Europe, and I traveled a lot as a kid because my mom was a model, and so I moved quite a lot around the world, but I was also lucky to have for a few months some big cats home and some wild animals. And that was, for those who don't know me, I'm an animal advocate and lover. And it was a great way to grow up.
Yeah, that is amazing. You know, a little bit of backstory on me as well. My parents actually had a fishing resort in a very rural part of Ontario, Canada. And so half the year I lived in Canada and half the years I lived in the States. And up there, you had to fly in by float plane. And so I was surrounded by moose and bear. And so that was just like a natural day occurrence that you would see those things.
So we understand.
We do. We really do. So it is, you know, it is interesting when people have that background. It's just, and people, like I said, only see it in movies. It's such a different world. And you really cherish it because it is something that nobody else has really had before. So it's a wonderful, wonderful gift, I think.
And it's also a lesson. You learn a lot of things when you're surrounded by, you know, animals like that in that way. And I've been very lucky.
Yes, that's amazing. How did you discover your gift for music?
Oh, my God. Well, I never wanted to be a singer. I didn't even know I could sing. I have absolutely no musical background whatsoever. And I had actually as a kid and an early teenager, I had really had no interest in music. I was, you know, people always laugh when I say that, but I wanted to be a vet in Africa or an astronaut. I would love to go up there, you know, between Mars and Pluto somewhere. And I really, it came actually much later, you know, like everybody, I guess. I used to sing in my bathroom or in the bathtub or under the shower, in the car sometimes. Yeah. But that was as far as I didn't know anything about music. My parents have no real musical background. I don't play of any instrument. And I had some friends, you know, who one of them was a DJ, and it actually started like that. But if you would have told me that a few years ago, that I would be singing and performing, I would say, yeah, no way.
Wow. Now, did you find that you, when you, I guess the first few times when you were on stage, did you find that you had a natural gift to be on stage? Because some people are performers, some people are musicians, but some people just really struggle with being on the stage. Did you find that that was a difficulty for you?
It is, you know, I'm the reason why I thought also I would never sing, because first I didn't think I had the voice for it, mm-hmm. nor the presence, and certainly not because I was shy. So the idea of being in front of a bunch of people looking at me, you know, it would have been like hell for me. So the first time I performed, it was very bizarre because I thought I would be very afraid, and it didn't really happen. I wasn't like paralyzed or something. So I was okay, but it is weird, you know, when you go on stage and then you have to perform, and I have a tendency sometimes of forgetting my lyrics. So now I'm used to it, and the band, you know, they know. I just go na na na, and then I'll just when my memory pops back, you know. Yeah. It's just, I guess you get used to it.
Sure.
I know that some people have stage fright. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not 100% comfortable, I'd say, you know, sure. But I'm not like terrorized, no. Mm-hmm.
Now, you've also write a lot of songs. I believe in 2007 you won quite a few awards for one of your tracks, correct?
That was I think it was in LA. And that came also as a surprise because I, you know, when I started music through some friends and a DJ, we used to jam, and that was in London and then in Paris. And there was, at the time, there was a site called Garage Band, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, with my awful accent.
No, it's beautiful, yes.
so we just sent the you know, our song there, and it started like that, and then I got these awards. I thought, my God, is this really me?
Oh,
are they
wow.
not making a mistake? No, I was very happy. Seriously, no, I was very happy and surprised. And yeah, that, you know, it's always nice when you think, you know, people like what you do.
Sure.
I mean, that's all the whole point of singing, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And being able to share that, your gift, with other people as well. Well, how was it for you when you got that award? Because you didn't know you had a musical ability, and all of a sudden here you are. You created the song, and all of a sudden you get a huge award for it. I mean, that's a huge accolade. How was that for you?
Wow, it makes you very humble. I mean, you know, there's so many amazing singers out there. You know, I can't even imagine, you know, having an award like that. So yeah, I was so happy. I mean, there's, you know, it's difficult to explain. I was just like very surprised, obviously.
Sure.
And thought, you know, that's amazing.
Yeah. What inspires you to write?
You know, I think like a lot of songwriters, I travel a lot, and you know, in Europe and in the States, and I really normally write about things that are close to my heart. You know, the moment, how I feel at a certain moment, mm-hmm. My pain, my happiness, my anger. I also write about you know, our planet, because it's a very important subject for me.
Sure.
The environment, and so it really depends on you know, how I feel at that moment.
Yeah, I noticed. I actually watched some of your music videos, and I saw that there's a lot of animals in there, which made sense to me. And knowing a little bit of your backstory, you know, I saw horses.
I can't live without them.
Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting how you brought in, you know, your background as a child and your love for animals, and you see them kind of interwoven in a lot of the videos, which I thought was just amazing.
You know, I mean, my passion is animals. I'm not saying I don't love music. I love music, and I'm so grateful and lucky that I can do both, and that I can, you know, through my music, maybe try and raise awareness on certain things. But I just have a little anecdote. A few years ago, I did a video in France and with some wolves, and that was, I must say, they were. It was a pack, and it was one of the most amazing moments in my life.
Wow!
To interact with these animals for 24 hours, and they have to accept you, obviously, because otherwise you're in trouble. and that was just, you know, just such a precious moment. So I try when I can to always travel with my dog. It's not a wolf, but it's, you know, it's a smaller, easier. Take along with me, and always to incorporate an animal either in my songs, my music, my lyrics, or my videos. Yeah,
because that's definitely a part of you. Well, I'm sure that was just such a magical experience. I mean, wolves themselves are so, I mean, and you look at all Native American lore and all these different types of stories and how powerfully intelligent the wolves are, just what they represent. I mean, it's just, I can't even imagine how magical that must have felt for you.
No, it is really. And, you know, I must say, James, I was there 24 hours with them. And I really spent 24 hours with them. Then I had to leave and go to the airport. And I thought, you know, where am I? My God, you know, I was between all these people running and hectic and just coming out of this 24 hours of magic. It was quite something.
I bet. Wow. Coming back to the real world, I'm sure it was difficult. So kind of switching gears for a second, what do you find are some of the pitfalls that maybe people just starting out in their career, maybe just even the music career, just maybe in front of cameras and television and those types of things, what do you think are some of the pitfalls that a lot of them experience as they get more notoriety?
I don't know. You know, I don't like to give advice or tell people, you know, personally for me, I think you always have to keep your feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. You say that like that in English, am I correct?
Yeah, you said it. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
You know, whatever happens, because anything, you know, happens, a gift, you have a gift, but it can disappear and you have to be grateful. And that's very important, I think, just to keep your feet on the ground. I know it's difficult sometimes when suddenly you have notoriety and you know, become famous. But I think it's just to try to, you know, just keep your feet on the ground.
And I think sometimes as well, people lose sight of the gift, why they do what they do. You know, sometimes they want to do, you know, it's their gift, it's their passion. But all of a sudden, when they get a lot of that notoriety in whatever field that may be in,
that's human.
That kind of clouds them. Of course, it clouds their judgment and they forget the passion and the original, the first love that they had for it.
Yeah, I think you can never, if you're really into it, you know, you see, if you really have the passion for music, your career will go on. Mm-hmm. I think there's, you know, you can see the difference between someone who just does it for, you know, for notoriety and fame, sure. or long careers, you know, and there you see the difference, I think. But you know, anyway, it's a gift to be able to share things with people and music and singing is such a wonderful thing.
Yes, it certainly is. Now, with you traveling so much, because you're on a tour over here in the United States, I believe, correct?
No, I just have a few gigs right now. I think the tour will be next year.
Gotcha, okay.
In February with the release of the movie Days of Power.
Okay.
Where I have a few of my songs in the movie. So we'll do a tour then. I just have like a few gigs now. I'm going back to New York tomorrow to perform there. And then I'm back to Europe next week.
Gotcha. Well, I wanted to ask you this because we're definitely going to talk about the movie in just a bit. But I wanted to ask you, with traveling so much, because you travel internationally and you do all these things, how do you recharge? How do you just find that time for yourself and find that stillness to be able to perform and give your all for each of the gigs that you do?
I go back home in my Swiss mountains.
Oh, that's so neat.
They say that Heidi land, you know? So. Yeah. No, seriously, I switch off. It's very, you know, you become addicted to all this social media, yeah, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you know. And so I just switch it off, switch off my laptop. I practice a lot of sport. Oh. I love swimming and walking in the mountains with my dogs, and I do cardio and actually started kickboxing a few months ago again.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just that's for me is a way to sort of, you know, just shut down and, you know,
find that,
take time.
Sure.
Yeah, and traveling.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, let's actually switch gears and talk about the movie, because that's one thing I really wanted to hear more about. Now, it's also a movie with Eric Roberts, I believe, correct?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So what's the premise of the movie? What's the movie about?
Well, the movie is to raise awareness against puppy mills. I'm sure you know, in America, you know what puppy mills are. Just, I must admit that 4 years ago, when Michelle from Realize Record asked me if I would be interested in fighting against puppy mills. At first, I had no idea what puppy mills were, and she sent me a video with you know some horrible pictures.
God,
James,
so
and
sad.
I must say, honestly, I was you know, then I Googled it, and you know, you're gonna think I'm silly or you know naive. I really cried.
Oh no, I'm sorry.
I cried. I could not understand that humans can be so mean.
Yeah.
And there can be so much cruelty, you know. Obviously, I agreed straight away to try and raise awareness for puppy mills. And then she wrote this beautiful movie called Days of Power, you know, to raise awareness, because it's amazing how many people do not know about puppy mills, you know, or have no idea. And so the movie is about that, is about the band going on tour and ending up in a difficult situation. In a puppy farm. It's a thriller. Thriller, yeah. And we really hope that this is going to sort of raise awareness, you know, and hopefully one day these horrible places will cease to.
Yes, and it is so horrible. I mean, I know animals for me myself. I'm very endeared to them as well. And like if I as a little boy, I wouldn't want to watch the Western movies, because if the horses fell or it looked like they got hurt, I would be so upset. And so even now, it's true. I mean, even now, as an adult.
I'm not the only crazy one. I'm so happy talking to me.
It's true, because it's still even now when I watch movies, I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, you think I'd be more upset about the humans, even though I know the humans are safe because it's a movie. But
exactly.
I think about the movie, I'm like, oh no, what if in the filming, the animal got hurt? And everyone laughs at me, but I'm like, no, it's true. And for like a couple of days later, I'm like, oh, I wish I hadn't seen that, or what could I do? And so... I understand. Well, that's wonderful, though. I mean, is this your first movie that you've been a part of?
Yes. And I'm very excited because my music is in the movie.
That's wonderful.
And it's just, you know, anything I can do. You know, I think if you can change the mind of just one person, it's already wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things, you know, we over here in America, we know about puppy mills, but we know the concept of it, but we don't really know the pictures, or we don't take time to look at that and to really understand what that means. And we have it just the understanding of it in concept, but not in true reality, the horror of it.
You know, that's why I always say that images are sometimes stronger than words, because with an image, you can say so much.
Yeah.
And puppy mills are these horrible mass production farms where these animals, these dogs, are just stacked into cages, wired cages, in the cold, in the heat, no food, nothing. And I mean, they when they're not worth anymore for breeding, they're just killed in horrible ways. And the movie also states that you have to be aware that when you go to, you know, a pet store, very often the dogs come from puppy mills, but people don't know that, because you know they see this sweet little dog in the window, and they don't realize where the dog comes from. And this is all a question. And when people don't know, you know, you have to make them understand and you know, raise awareness. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because the more aware we are, the more informed decisions we can make.
I mean, we can change everything, James. We have the power to change. You know, it's. I always say, I think when people don't know, they can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But once they know, then they have the power to change things.
And they have a responsibility to change things as well.
Absolutely. And some people tell me, oh, yeah, animals are just animals. I said, okay, look, I fully respect people who are not as crazy as I am and don't love animals the way I do, because for me, they are part of my life, of my soul. But what I don't accept is cruelty.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot like dogs. You don't want a dog. You want a cat. You want a parrot or whatever. It's fine. But what I don't accept is cruelty. You know?
Absolutely right. And in my field in psychology, that's very diagnostic. When people harm animals, it actually says a lot and actually leads towards different types of diagnoses.
Yeah, it's, you know, I also sort of try to raise awareness against, you're going to find this horrible, but it's sadly reality. You know, there's a trade of dog meat going out in Asia.
Oh my gosh.
Where people eat dog meat, believe it or not. And that is also something for me, I just cannot understand. Yeah. It is like, you know, how can people, you know, but it's a whole process. It's like in the culture sometimes. And, you know, for us to say, how can the dog eating be in the culture of someone? But it's like that. And it's a long way to try and change these mentalities, mm-hmm. because that's the only way you can change things is by people realizing what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very true. So switching gears here to maybe a little more happier topic.
Yes.
Because I'm all sad now.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's a reality. You're absolutely right. So let's switch over to your latest album. So what is the name of your latest album?
It's called Dreams.
Dreams. And what's the concept of the movie? Or excuse me, what's the concept of the album?
Of the album. I think we don't dream enough, you know, James. I think we live in a world, everything is fast track. And I always say that kids have this amazing ability to dream and to have this fantasy world. And at the moment when they get older, it stops, and it's a pity. And so I thought the name would be nice, because I think we need to dream, especially in these days, you know, where everything is so negative and you know. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to call the name Dreams, also because I made a cover of a song called Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so I decided it would be a perfect name for the album.
Yeah.
I just have, I think about eight songs on the album.
That's beautiful.
It's just, during my travels, my feelings, you know, mm-hmm. some of the songs, I always say I don't write love songs because I normally don't like love songs because I'm not good at writing love songs, but funnily enough, and some other people do so much better than I could ever.
Sure.
But then that said, I actually have like two love songs.
Oh, really? That's great.
Never.
That's wonderful.
Never say never.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I wrote that at a certain time of my life and mm-hmm. I thought it was right.
Yeah.
My feelings, my happiness, my anger, my sadness. So it's all a mixture of things.
Sure. Sure. That's beautiful. Now, when is it going to be released?
It has been released already.
Oh, it
it's
has. Okay.
Released, yeah, it has been released, I think, it was in October.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And now you're signed with Realize Records?
I am, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Okay. Well, Sylvie, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on my show today. If my listeners would like to find out more information about you, all the groups for whom you advocate, where would they find all this information online?
They can go on my website. It's www.milow.com, and I'm also on Twitter and on all the social medias, you know, Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Wonderful. Well, Sylvie, once again, thank you for being a guest on my show today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for joining with us today. Please subscribe to this radio show through whichever portal you joined with us today. Also, please visit my website where you may enroll in the Lifeology Academy, read my published articles, and watch all my YouTube episodes I created just for you. If you'd like to become a show sponsor or become a guest, please visit jamesmillerlifeology.com. Once again, thank you so much for your support, and I'll talk to you soon.